It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorneys. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
The Dave Hooker Show,
a presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
Objective insight, expertise, top guest. Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app.
Download now for free.
Also available on offthehooksports.com.
I compute and obey.
Now to Dave Hooker. Ready.
We are loaded up on the show, and good news. Nico will lead us off. Some conversations about him I've had. Will his off-season hype, which includes that NCAA lawsuit, help or hurt him in the Heisman race? Also, is it too much to ask of him to be a Heisman contender in year number one based off what Hendon Hooker did? We'll share some numbers with you. Tennessee also a long shot to make the college football playoff. What's going on with that? Tennessee sells out their season tickets for the second straight year. Josh Heupel says Cam Seldon may not be ready. And is Tennessee's schedule too easy? Too easy? That's a Caleb. And could revenue sharing curb bowl opt-outs later in the program? I think we would all like to see less bowl opt-outs, but I don't know if this is a good idea. It makes me think it comes from Mark Emmert in retirement. Let's get to Caleb Calhoun. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing, Dave?
Never better on this beautiful Thursday right here in East Tennessee. And I want to go ahead and get to it right now. Let's talk some Nico, today's tough question.
Today's tough question. Take a side.
Take a stand.
The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of offthehooksports.com.
All right. I know what Caleb Calhoun thinks. He thinks that Nico Iamaleava will be a Heisman contender in year number one. Caleb's gone so far to predict that Tennessee can win the national championship this upcoming season in 2024. So first, let me ask you, with Nico, why do you think he could truly be a Heisman contender in year number one? That's asking a lot. Please hit like and subscribe. We appreciate that. Brought to you by Rick Terry, Rick Terry Jewelry Design. And all you got to do is go to rickterryjewelry.com, rickterryjewelry.com. Absolutely the best. And they got those fire opals for game day as well. So check them out. Caleb, why do you think that Nico can be a Heisman contender from day one?
Well, that's very, very simple. Nico Iamaleava, as I've told you guys plenty of times before, is the quarterback that Josh Heupel, if he could create in a lab to run his system, that lab would produce Nico Iamaleava. And I've said it before, the same way the lab produced Tim Tebow for Urban Meyer, and the lab produced Tommy Frazier for Tom Osborne, and the lab produced Danny Werfel for Steve Spurrier. Although you think any quarterback could have run, you think Danny Werfel was a dime a dozen for Steve Spurrier's system.
Oh, no. I never said that. No, I think he was pretty, I think he was really, really, really gutsy. I just physically, athletically, he was a dime a dozen.
Okay.
I think it takes a lot of guts to stand in there. That was my favorite quarterback of all time, Troy Aikman's best trade.
No, that's true. So Nico Iamaleava, yeah, well, he took it to a fault, but that's a different story. But Nico Iamaleava.
He can't remember how to tie his shoes, but other than that.
Yeah. So he's created in a lab. He has also already been in this system for a year. It's not like he has to learn. There's this whole thing of Nico has to learn the offense. Why? He's been in it for a year. I don't buy this whole, you got to learn the offense thing. If you're a backup, if you've been in the system for a while, you know the offense. So the only thing you would have to say is like, will in-game action, and that has more to do with your mentality, I think, than anything else. I think actual starting experience can, to a certain degree, be overrated, particularly if you are the perfect fit for the offense. Tim Tebow won the Heisman his first year starting for Florida. I mean, Cam Newton won a national championship his only year starting for Auburn. Jameis Winston won the Heisman and a national championship, as did Johnny Manziel winning the Heisman. Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Johnny Manziel were all first-year starters the year they won the Heisman, as was Tim Tebow. I don't see why Nico Iamaleava can't have the same thing when he's already worked in this offense for a year, and he's got all the tools, and he's got all the talent, and he has more experience in this offense now than Hendon Hooker did when Hendon Hooker first became a starter in 2021, and that is one of the top five most efficient passing seasons in Tennessee football history, surpassed by Hendon Hooker in 2022. So why couldn't Nico Iamaleava be as great as possible in his first year starting?
Elias says day one. No, I'm not being literal day one. Sorry, misspoke there. Elias also says some minority of sports writers and announcers are going to like him, and they're going to love to hype him after the NC State and OU games. There will also be, and I've talked to several Heisman voters. For those new to the program, I am a Heisman voter. There are a lot of us. And there are some that believe there will be backlash against the old school journalist that don't think players should get paid, that he embodies NIL. Could that actually work against him in some sports writers' minds? You shouldn't take that into account. But some people will, won't they, Caleb?
Given the storylines behind him, that could work against him. And it is kind of interesting that you say that, because it would be, I mean, how many times does a Tennessee player who should have won the Heisman have to be a victim of certain politics within the sport during that time? Because as we all know, Peyton Manning was cost the Heisman because they didn't like the hype behind him during that year. And also there was a whole, you know, you gave it to a quarterback the year before from the SEC. They didn't want to give it to two SEC quarterbacks 2 years in a row. There was the promotion of TV, which is why Paul Hornung won it over Johnny Majors, because Paul Hornung balled out for Notre Dame in a game that was on TV, which was rare in 1956. If that's held against Nico Iamaleava, that's disgraceful. I'll say this much. If Nico Iamaleava is cost the Heisman Trophy because of the old guard having a problem with him getting paid, if that cost him in 2024, he will still be at Tennessee in 2025. If he's a Heisman candidate in 2025, don't go to New York. Tennessee should fully withdraw and just say, we're never going to send a player to, if you come to Tennessee, you should never go to New York for the Heisman. That's going to be their thing. Show up the Heisman the way. Remember when T.O. showed up the Hall of Fame, where he just didn't show up because he was mad that it took them so long to put him in?
Yeah, he did a ceremony in Chattanooga. That was stupid.
Yeah. Show up the Heisman.
Wouldn't really do that.
Show it up. I think so.
If George McIntyre gets invited in 2027, you're going to send him. Come on, Caleb.
Don't send him. Now, show them up. Embarrass them.
Travis is right. They need to revamp the Heisman voting process, and they do. But whether you like it or not, that's still a very prestigious award, and it still carries an awful lot of weight. That's why people are announced as Heisman Trophy winner blank. So it still means an awful lot. It would help you in recruiting down the road. It would help the publicity of your school. There's no way you're going to make a spectacle out of yourself.
Wait a minute.
That to me is Dion territory.
You would get publicity for your school, though, by doing this. And then they can lay out their case on how much of a scam the trophy is. And then the trophy would be humiliated. Guys, you can say what you want about Nico in terms of maybe he'll rub some people the wrong way because of the money. Tennessee is going to be the favorite program in college football the next 2 years. They are more than Dion in Colorado. I've told you guys this from a while. Josh Heupel has the most fun offense in all of college football to watch. Tennessee is the type of team, Dave, when you're flipping through the channels, and I know a lot of people don't flip through channels anymore. They go on Sling or they have streaming. But either way, when you're just looking through games to watch, you're a casual fan in like Seattle, just trying to watch some college football on a Saturday, you'll stop to watch Tennessee. They're that type of team over the next 2 years. And
I think that's probably the case. Now, I think that helps Nico. I think the Iowa game helped Nico a lot and get a little bit of that preseason pub. I think the pub will have more eyes watching that Chattanooga game than would be watching otherwise, whether that's NCAA pub, whether that's what he did against Iowa pub. But I do believe that there will be more eyeballs watching him one way or another. And he's going to ball out against Chattanooga. So if you have a problem with the process and not the player, I actually have a real problem with you. Let me support your argument in another way, Caleb. These quarterbacks are ready to hit the ground running. And Tennessee has been able to do that a couple of different seasons with Hendon Hooker. And Hendon Hooker went from backup to playing and played well. Would it surprise you to know that his quarterback rating compared to 2022 was actually 6 points higher in 2021, Caleb? So while the eye test would indicate Hooker was better in 2022, right?
Correct.
The numbers would actually indicate he's about the same or better.
Well, there is one factor you have to bring out into that, though, which is that
competition.
Well, not just competition, but two things. Cedric Tillman went down in 2022. So he had to adjust on the fly. And also, more importantly than that, Hendon Hooker, I think his sacks like were cut by 2/3. He had only a third. And so I say this with Aaron Rodgers a lot, and I've always criticized Aaron Rodgers for this, because it doesn't count against your quarterback rating when you get sacked. So a lot of quarterbacks that are selfish, like Aaron Rodgers, will take sacks rather than get rid of the ball because they know it won't count against them when they get sacked.
Well, I'm not sure how many people do that. I don't think Nico's going to do that.
No, but I'm saying Hendon Hooker took a lot more sacks in 2021 than in 2022. So while his quarterback rating went down,
the fact that
he didn't take as many sacks shows that he improved so much.
Oh, I do know he improved. I'm not questioning that at all. I'm not trying to say he played better in 2021 than 2022. I just was rather impressed that the two numbers were comparable, because when I thought about it, I was doing the research. I really thought that he would be about 10, 15 points higher in 22 than 21. There needs to be a quarterback rating where you factor in rushing. Can we come up with that equation, Caleb?
That's what Total QBR does with ESPN. They do that with Total QBR. I just don't think they have Total QBR for college. So they factor in rushing. They also factor in when you completed a pass or made a play. Like if you did it in garbage time, it doesn't count in your favor as much as if you did it like on third down in the fourth quarter when your team is down by five. Like they weight the in-game situations of when you make a play. Also, it's so heavily analytical that I don't know the numbers, but it's the most important stat in football.
Our poll question stands at 50-50 exactly. And we're going to leave this one up for a little bit longer. I'm going to readdress this one because I do think there are going to be some Heisman voters that just don't like Nico because of what happened around him, not because of him personally. The poll question is, will Nico Iamaleava be a Heisman contender this year? Yes, at 50%. No, 2025 is his year at 50% as well. I'm not sure that Tennessee won't have a better roster around Nico this season than next. I think they're going to hit a little bit of a talent gap in 2025, but this roster is pretty set with an intact offensive line and a good group of receivers. He won't have the same group in 2025, so you really don't know.
Yeah, I've said that for a while. I've said Heupel went all in on 2024 to try to win a national title, and I still stand by that. Well, it kind of reminds me of, Dave, you've seen NFL teams, right, in the past, or maybe even NBA and baseball teams, where they load up on free agents for 1 year, and it's a lot of bad contracts that are back-end loaded that they know is going to mess them up for a long period of time, but they're just taking that chance to win that title for that 1 year. Yeah. And it feels like Tennessee is doing that. Now, the difference is, and you and I know the difference, with the transfer portal and NIL, Tennessee can, if it doesn't happen this year, they can just reload next year through the transfer portal, obviously. But
they could have five superstars in 2025 that we don't even know their names right now.
Exactly. So I think because of that, it's not the same. But I do think Heupel's all in on this year, and where he's really putting his chips on the table is if he doesn't deliver this year, and I mean doesn't deliver in a big way, at least have Tennessee down into the semifinals, Final Four. I think it'll start to be hard for him to recruit, because I don't think he'll be as sexy of a guy to. I don't think his offense and his team will be as sexy to play for after that, because there will be concerns. He will start to look more like Gus Malzahn his last few years at Auburn.
Mead Drinker said, will Nico's first year be more comparable to Hooker's first or second year? Wow. I'll let you go first on that one.
Hooker's second year. And I'll tell you, because again, Nico right now has the same experience in the system that Hooker had entering his second year. Hooker just started his first year in the system. Nico didn't. And so, yeah, no, Hooker's second year. And also, and here's the big one. And this is one part of the sacks thing that I got to bring up. A lot of that was on Hooker. He held the ball too long in 2021. But the other part was Cooper Mays wasn't healthy through a lot of 2021. He was fully healthy in 2022. That was a huge difference in the drop in sacks. And so Cooper is healthy all of this year. Again, Nico is going to be in great shape. And also, I have to say this. This is going to be the crazy part. Dave, I actually think Nico's a little bit more decisive than even Hendon Hooker. I watched him in the Iowa game.
Well, that's
he was very decisive.
Well, you stole my thunder.
I'm sorry.
He is more decisive. I think he gets the ball out quicker. I've seen that with my own eyeballs than Hooker was in 2021. I think he has a faster release just physically, not just reading defenses, but a faster release as a whole. So I think he'll be more like 2022 than 2021. But there are going to be some times. I mean, these are big-time defensive coordinators in the SEC, right? There are going to be some times where they throw different looks at him. He is going to have those moments where he's a bit frozen in the pocket. He's not going to be perfect the entire year.
Maybe that's one of the things. I think that's one of the things that could help him about being a first-year starter. Those defensive coordinators don't always figure you out your first year starting. Let's be honest, Dave. Let's just call it what it is. Johnny Manziel wasn't as good in 2013 as he was in 2012. And honestly, Jameis Winston wasn't as good in 2014 as he was in 2013. And when you talk about these first-year starters, Caleb Williams wasn't as good in 2023 as he was in 2022. Now, they all were still great their second year. They were still pretty darn good. But there was a bit of a regression. And what I gathered in all of those situations was defensive coordinators adjusted, and they didn't change their style of play that much in those quarterbacks.
Let me ask you this, because it was brought up by Mead Drinker, I believe, and that was who, as far as Nico, when do you think he'll look like a veteran?
Immediately.
September?
Immediately.
September?
Immediately, yes.
I think he will, too, because of the way the schedule sets out. But the other question he said, I believe it was actually Travis. The needs to be revamped. The Heisman Trophy needs to be revamped. How would you revamp the Heisman voting process? I'll ask you that question, Caleb. Brought to you by Don Self, a State Farm customer service still matters. For 40 years, they built their business on taking care of their customers. That's Don Self. DonSelf.net, DonSelf.net. Just call 423-396-2126, 423-396-2126. Customer service still matters when you need that claim filled. It's not just about shopping for price. How would you revamp the Heisman voting if I made you the king of college football?
Well, it's a little tricky for me now because the college football playoff is going to be so close to what I would have done that I can't do this anymore. But since the theory of the Heisman is you take the conference championship games into account, but not the bowl season, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm not mailing ballots out. And Dave, this is going to be crazy. I'm not even mailing the ballots out until the Monday after the conference championship games, because that way you have to watch those games and take them into account if you want to vote. And then that way you can't send them in until it's over. And I mail them out Monday, and you got a week to send them back in.
I got no problem with that. I mean, it takes me roughly 3 or 4 hours sometimes if I really want to go through and dig into it, but not having the conference championship games is bizarre, but there are some people that send their votes in early November just to make sure that they get their vote for the next year. They don't want to forget about it. Then there are people like me who take it a lot more seriously.
Peyton Manning was cost the Heisman for a big reason, because voters during that time did not want to reward teams who played conference title games, because, as you know, Dave, many conferences didn't have conference title games.
But the biggest factor in Peyton was ESPN. I mean, ESPN tried to make that a television show. That was the biggest factor. They pushed a Big Ten player every single week.
What was so crazy about that was there were other candidates in that class they could have pushed outside of just Charles Woodson, because Randy Moss was in that class. Chad Pennington was in that class. And Ryan Leaf was in that class.
No offense to Chad, who's a friend of mine, but Heisman Trophy winner Chad Pennington doesn't sound exactly right.
No, I agree, but okay. So, okay. Randy Moss, Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson. All three are Hall of Famers. I think Charles Woodson's the worst of the three, though, right? In terms of the NFL, in terms of if you rank where they stand in their production at their position. Because Randy Moss, I don't care what anybody says, Randy Moss is the most physically talented wide receiver in the history of football.
Well, yes, but you did just pick the two most elite players at their position in my generation. So, yes, he was the third best player among those guys, but he was one of the best corners of my generation as well.
Charles Woodson was amazing. I'm just saying the fact that he beat those two out for the Heisman when Peyton and Randy Moss were actually better. I mean, if you want to put Randy Moss in there, they just didn't want to put Marshall. They just didn't want to prop up Marshall. There's an anti-Marshall bias.
The bottom line is they wanted ratings on a TV show, and they thought they could manipulate the voting to make it close, and they made it too close. The underdog won, and that wasn't good. The show represented by Banks and Jones, 60 seconds. Well, it's because they're Tennessee's trial attorney. You can play to win with Banks and Jones because they'll go to trial. You've heard of other lawyers. They say they'll go to trial and fight for you. They won't. They just want to settle. That's the easiest way out. Well, that's not Banks and Jones, led by T. Scott Jones. They won't settle. They'll go to trial for you. Tennessee's trial attorney. They play to win. Truly, Tennessee's trial attorney when it comes to criminal defense or personal injury. Why settle? Banks and Jones, T. Scott Jones, banksandjones.com.
What the? What was he thinking?
Release the hounds.
The Dave Hooker Show.
Keep cool.
A presentation of offthehooksports.com.
We go from Heisman to college football playoffs. Do you think Caleb and I are a bit high on the balls? Yes, we are. And it's not just to appease you. It is because we really believe that. Tennessee, an underdog to make the college football playoff. To whom, Caleb?
This is according to our good buddies at BetUS, who we're fans of, but we took a look at their 12-team playoff odds this year. Tennessee is the first of the teams that is an underdog to make the playoffs, meaning it's a plus to bet on them, not a minus. So there are 14 teams that you will have to bet more than $100 to win $100 for them to make the playoffs. And Tennessee is right there at number 15 at plus 225 odds. Not even like plus 110, by the way, Dave. Plus 225, greater than 2-1 odds you're getting on betting on Tennessee to make a 12-team playoff. Guys, jump at this. Jump at this. I'm telling you, jump at it. And don't sue me if you jump at it and you don't make it. But still jump at it. Bet your mortgage.
It certainly doesn't seem like they should be an underdog. But I wonder, Caleb, if you and I are too bullish on Tennessee. We talked to Jimmy Himes yesterday, and he had 9 wins. I seem to think that 9 is the bare minimum. I want to take a look at the other teams that are considered, what, favorites? Is that the term I would use to make the college football playoff? Okay, so let's look at those other teams. Go ahead and give me 2 or 3 teams that are inarguable. They should be above Tennessee when it comes to rankings because of either what they've done, how they've established themselves, whatever. Star power coming back. I want to go through the ones that you would just lop off, that you would say, I got no argument with. Want to do that. Brought to you by Boundless Moving. From the 2-hour minimum to turnkey operations, they have you covered. Call my buddy Matt. Tell him Dave Hooker at Off the Hook Sports sent you. Boundless Moving. Move me in East Tennessee. They can move you there and in Charlotte as well. So, Caleb.
So, and let's get this clear. There are 12 playoff teams. There are obviously 12 teams that can make the college football playoff, but Vegas has to make money. So there are 14 teams with favorite odds to make the playoff. You know, they're covering their bases a little bit, if that's fair to say. So number one to make the playoff, Georgia, -900. That's right, -900. You know how insanely high those odds are to make a playoff? That's not to win a game. That's to make the playoff, but they're -900. Number two,
so you would bet $100 and win back 10, right?
9, I think. I can't. I got to do the math in my head.
Okay, go for it.
It's maybe you're right. Maybe it's it. I don't know. But yes, you got to bet $100 to win like 10 or 12, something like that. Ohio State's -800, and which is still pretty high. Texas is third at -500. Oregon is fourth at -500. Florida State is fifth at -250. By the way, I think that's too low for Florida State because I think they're locked to win the ACC again this year. Could be wrong on that, but I think they might win it again. Clemson is sixth at -225. Notre Dame is seventh at -250. I don't know why they're below Clemson on this. So Notre Dame is sixth at -250. Clemson is seventh at -225. Kansas State is eighth at -200. Michigan is ninth at -140. Ole Miss is 10th at -150. And then you have 4 other teams. Miami, Utah, Alabama, and Penn State are all at -110. Yeah, that's right. They have Miami above Tennessee.
As the original question was, who would you say I got no problem with?
All right, I got no problem with Georgia. I got no problem with Ohio State. I got no problem with Oregon, Florida State, or Clemson. I got no problem with Texas. I got a problem with everybody else on that list, including Alabama.
Will Tennessee be better than Alabama this season? I think there's a good chance of that, and I think they very well might be. Let's not forget, you have to transition to a whole new offense and a whole new defense, for that matter. It's a whole new coaching staff. Most of the time, no matter what your talent level, there's a transition year. So if I were to bet right now, and I'm curious, maybe we can take a look at it, the over-under in games that Tennessee and Alabama will win, I would be curious to know that number as well. I agree with you on most of the schools. I think the one that people want to see this season is Texas, because if they can't make a college football playoff and be excellent with the schedule they have, then that program got lucky last year under Steve Sarkisian. But I do have a problem with – name the schools you have a problem off with in particular.
I have a problem with Kansas State. I have a problem with Michigan. I have a problem with Ole Miss. I have a huge problem with Miami. I have a problem with Utah. I have a problem with Alabama. Scratch it, I may not have a problem with Penn State because Penn State's going to lose 2 games and win 10 as they do every year because we know the 2 they're going to lose.
So we're not – just to be clear, we're not talking about who's better – We're talking about understanding making the college football playoff, which is as much political as about what you do on the field.
Yes, exactly. And so I have no problem. I actually don't have a problem with Penn State because Penn State's going to be their regular 10-2 team where they get blown up by Ohio State and Michigan. And the college football world's going to be like, oh my God, Penn State's 10-2 in the Big Ten. They're a top 10 team, guys. And
the voice is back. You know, the voice is back.
That's how people think of Penn State, though, consistently. And by the way, you know, they also win with honor, guys. Remember that. With Joe Paterno, they won with honor. They were a very classy program. They never had a scandal.
Never any issues at all. But Tennessee being a long shot to make the playoffs is not incredibly surprising to me. As a matter of fact, I kind of thought they would be a slight long shot based off the people that I've talked to. The thing that I want to see how this plays into it is if Tennessee's as popular as you and I seem to think they'll be, if they get in a position where they were second or let's say third in the SEC, have they played well enough to still make the playoffs? That's the question I would have. Whether or not you're able to win the SEC, there's suddenly a bigger prize out there to be had.
I mean, I think that, and I've talked about this for a while, and so I'm not a fan of the playoff because it's devaluing winning the SEC. I don't think it's a big deal if you don't win the SEC, quite honestly. And I've said this, Dave, 1,000 times over. If you know you're a lock to go to the playoff, I'd rest my starters in the SEC championship game.
Okay, well, that's absurd, but I'm just going to leave that
there. Not my fault. I didn't make the rules. They made the rules. And also, by the way, as Kirby Smart pointed out, he's right on this. If I know I'm a lock to go to the playoff, the final week of the regular season, I might lose that game rather than have to go play Georgia in the SEC title game. Save myself a week. Give myself a week's rest.
You're not going to rest people for a championship game. That's the most absurd thing.
A championship game. I want
okay, the playoff. Let me ask you this.
Hold on.
If you rested your players for the SEC championship game, you send the wrong message from a competitive standpoint. You're not going to have success in the college football playoff. You're taking a preseason game and putting it in the middle of the season.
Making me laugh. You're sending the wrong message. Oh, poor message. You're right. Did Rick Barnes send the wrong message when he tanked the SEC tournament this year?
That's different.
It's
one game versus three. It's one game versus three.
It's a football game is worth three basketball games in terms of the wear and tear on your body that and the rest you need relative to it. Okay. So I'm sorry. The wrong message. Spare me. The SEC championship game.
You can't discount that, Caleb, because you're putting a preseason game in the middle of the season if you do that. And you can't tell me that you're automatically going to get all those players full focus back after that. It's not going to happen. If they had some sort of exhibition game in the NFL, they'd laugh it off. The starters wouldn't play. And some would want to play, and it would just be absurd. I mean, there is no way that you could rest your starters in the SEC championship game. You may think that that's the case, and we may disagree vehemently on that, but you don't think that would actually be the case, do you? You don't think Kirby Smart's going to say, hey, I'm going to sit my cats so I can hopefully make the college football playoff championship game?
Well, no, I think some people are going to do that. I absolutely think some people are going to do that. I don't know who. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't even know if it'll be the SEC championship game first. Maybe the Big 12. Maybe the Big 10. Maybe the ACC. Somebody.
Ted's right. You're out of your mind. Ted's right. You're out of your mind.
Guys, y'all don't realize they have turned the conference championship games into the conference basketball tournaments. Both teams playing for the SEC championship are locks for the college football playoff. Thorough locks. They're going to rest your starters. And also, by the way, if you rest your starters, I know you're going to say the first round bye, but if you don't get the first round bye, you get the home playoff game. You get extra revenue for your own home stadium for a week. So there's that.
Okay. I think most people agree with me, Travis calls it laughable. Caleb, you're out of your mind by Ted. Elias said, imagine Al Wilson staring bullets if you ask him to sit out an SEC title game. That it just would be the most abhorrent thing you could possibly do, is sit players down in the SEC championship game and then see them go lose if they did in the first round of the playoffs, because then you had an opportunity to have a ring. And you don't think it means much, but I do. I think the SEC and a championship still means a lot, a lot. Well, I could ask Cooper Mays at lunch today if he believes means a lot.
I got a lot of respect for Cooper. No player is going to say, well, I'm just not going to play hard in this game today. Okay. Even in the NBA, have you ever heard LeBron be like, well, this regular season game's not important? No, but a lot of times they don't take the regular season seriously. So y'all are putting value on, y'all are acting like it's 1990. It's not. The college football world has been sucked up too much where everything is playoff centric now. I didn't do it. The SEC championship now has no more weight than winning the NFC East.
That is so, so incredibly untrue. It is insulting. It is insulting.
It's factual.
To every college coach and every college football player who goes out there on that field each and every day to make for the best product you can watch in the fall, you have insulted each and every one of them.
I'm sorry.
In all reality, though, can I tell you how being around them, the coaches and players I've been around would never even consider doing what you're doing. Now, maybe a Steve Sarkisian or somebody else would. Lincoln Riley, I don't know. But the crews that I've been around would never consider that. And I can tell you in particular, that wouldn't be the case with Josh Heupel. And we don't know that Rick Barnes threw the tournament. He hasn't admitted.
Yes, he did. He actually threw the tournament.
Probably.
And by the way, Bobby Knight would openly throw the Big Ten tournament, and he got 5 national championships. But, he didn't win the Big Ten tournament title, so it's tainted because he didn't win the tournament title, so the national championship ring doesn't mean much.
The Voice. Yeah, okay. Brought to you by friends at Newbert Collision Center. For over 50 years, Newbert Collision Center has been East Tennessee's best choice for quality repair work and fantastic customer service. Check them out.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
All right, Tennessee sells out its season tickets for the second straight year. This actually came across my email during the show on Wednesday, and I didn't think it was that surprising. I had a national talk show host text me this morning and say, is that a big deal? And I said, I don't think so. I mean, as long as you put a product out there, Tennessee fans are there to support it. It's why recruiting is easier at Tennessee. When I saw two consecutive sellouts, I just kind of went, am I underplaying that?
No, I thought it would happen, but I will say this. I wish college football programs were publicly traded companies. You could invest in their value in the stock market.
That would be amazing.
I would have made bank on Tennessee, because the truth of the matter is,
you lost bank on Florida State.
And here's why. I don't mean like how they win. I mean like their actual value, their monetary value, like based on season tickets and things like that.
Okay.
I wish they were probably traded.
Yeah, you would still have won with them because they almost made the playoff. All right, go ahead.
Yes. I would have loved to have invested in Tennessee football like last year, because season tickets sold out this year. Here's why they sold out, Dave. And they sold out last year because of the success of 2022. They sold out this year because everybody in the know in Knoxville is thinking what I'm thinking about Nico Iamaleava. Well, or based on our poll question, at least 50% of Knoxville is thinking what I'm thinking. Now it's down to 47%. But whatever. The 47% is, wow, Tennessee fans are being very objective. 47% for our poll question think he won't be a contender in the Heisman this year. I disagree with y'all. I think he will.
Let's define contender real quick. Contender, I'm going to say, is top. Well, contender, that's a finalist. Contender to me is somebody that's still realistically in the conversation last week. But back to our previous topic, and that was selling out the season tickets. Having Nico there as well, even if you hadn't had the success that Josh Heupel had in 2022 with all the hype around Nico, that'd probably sell about 10,000 tickets in and of itself.
Oh, I totally agree. But see, here's where I'm going. Tennessee season tickets sold out this year because of Tennessee fans and Nico. After Nico does what I think he's going to do next year or this year, Dave, this is why I wish I could invest in Tennessee as a stock price. Do you realize how much more valuable and how much more in-demand season tickets are going to be going into 2025? Because that year is going to be, that's where you're going to see the First Take crews or the Skip Bayless crews or all these national media people that all they do is talk about the flashy parts of college football. They will be descending on Knoxville to try to get into Neyland Stadium for these games, because Nico is going to be the most exciting player to watch.
How do you really feel?
I'm telling you, guys, Nico is one of the most exciting players, and he will be doing it in the SEC. So like when Marcus Mariota does it at Oregon, it's like nobody cares. It's these late night Pac-12 games. You know what I mean? So no one really cared when that was happening. But when Nico Iamaleava is doing it in the SEC with Josh Heupel's system, putting up basketball numbers, you will see all of national media desperate next year to come to Knoxville to watch Nico play. So the season tickets sold out this year. I think next year Tennessee could double its season ticket prices and they would sell it out. Now, I'm not giving them any. Every Tennessee fan is probably like,
yeah, angry at me now. Caleb's an idiot.
Yeah. Like, stop. I want to get my affordable season tickets, but
Caleb should not. Well, but I've seen some of the prices lately. I'm on those email lists.
Yeah. And Travis brings up a good point. Travis Pierce, I think, won't be there in 2025, but Boo Carter is going to be a splash player in 2024 also. And the splash of Boo Carter will just add on to the pizzazz that Nico has. And Mike Matthews will be the most fun wide receiver to watch in football in 2025. Guys, I'm telling you, everybody's going to want to come to see Nico play. And there are quarterbacks and players that are kind of like that. It's kind of like, you know how like sometimes in college basketball, Dave, there are those one and done prospects that when they're there, all these NBA fans will pay a ton of money to go see them play at Duke or wherever. Mm-hmm. You're going to get that with Nico going into 2025. Tennessee fans just know it right now, which is why they sold out their season tickets for 2024. But the college football world's going to know it in October. And I am so angry that Tennessee football is not in the stock market, because I would put so much money on them, because their value and their revenue is about to go explode.
Yeah, and I think Tennessee is going to continue to trend upwards with Nico. But if you look back at it, $2 million a year, and now they've sold out Neyland Stadium for the second straight year. When it's all said and done, was it worth it? If you get that type of player, if you get a Heisman Trophy candidate, not necessarily a winner, if you get a, let's say, Casey Clawson or better, that level of quarterback. Very different players, but that level of quarterback is $2 million a year. Just in terms of finances, in your opinion, worth it to have the excitement that you have around the program in the offseason and then subsequently to sell out the season tickets 2 years in a row? How much of that was excitement around Nico?
A lot of it. And it's worth it from the revenue base. But I will tell you this, giving him $2 million, and I say this with all the respect in the world for Casey Clawson, and I agree with you, one of the most misunderstood people to ever play football at Tennessee. If Nico Iamaliava is just Casey Clawson level, that's a massive disappointment. That's a massive disappointment. And because I'll just ask you this, Dave. What if Peyton Manning just had a Casey Clawson's career? We'd consider his 10-year-old rookie top a massive disappointment then, wouldn't we? Given all the hype when he committed to Tennessee in 94?
It's fair.
I mean, yeah, that's a major letdown if Nico's Casey Clawson. Because let's be honest, Nico has more hype than Peyton Manning did in 94. And he has it without being the son of an NFL quarterback who was an SEC legend.
Are you at all concerned there's too much hype around this football team? And we're probably a big part of that. We address it in one moment, brought to you by Quality Tire Pro. The Eberle family has been serving Chattanooga's community since 1957. Go to qualitirepros.com, qualitirepros.com. Downtown on Cherokee. Stop by and tell Bo. Dave Hooker said hello at Off the Hook Sports. Dave Hooker said hello at Off the Hook Sports. That's qualitirepros.com. QualityTirePros.com. They will do everything for your car. Completely take care of you. Back in 2 minutes with Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports.
Fifth year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that. If we wouldn't put our family in it, we're not going to put their family in it. If you're going to say that you're doing the best work in Knoxville, now saying it's one thing, producing it and providing it's another.
The largest family-owned collision center in Knoxville is Joe Neubert Collision Center.
Hi, I'm Rick Terry, and we at Rick Terry Jewelry Designs pride ourselves in the highest quality craftsmanship from a family-owned business here in Knoxville for over 35 years. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we also take pride in being an affordable option for all your game day accessories, especially those fire opals. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we want to be your jeweler every day and especially on game day. Go Vols!
Hi, Mike Davis here with City Heating and Air, reminding you to always dare to compare. Our team provides quality local heating and air service, installation, and maintenance across East Tennessee. We use only the best equipment like American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning for your residential, new construction, or commercial needs. Honesty, dependability, and customer satisfaction have been the cornerstones of our business since 1961. City Heat and Air.
There's your bear.
Experience it all at Ray Varner Ford in Clinton. Need a quick fix or routine maintenance? Visit our Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. Keep your Ford running smoothly with the experts in our service department. Ready for your next Ford? Our sales team's here to guide you through. 24 Ford Badlands Bronco, 59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540. 24 Ford Explorer, XLT, four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks & Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
Who's this guy?
Hello, wizard!
The Dave Hooker Show,
who?
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
What?
YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the free Off the Hook Sports app. Back to Dave Hooker.
We did it. We did it. Too much hype by us. Just know that it's genuine. I'm not trying to pump you up. I told you where you'd be with Joe Milton last year. I'm telling you that I'm pretty close to where Caleb is. Maybe not 100% where Caleb is on Nico, but I'm pretty close. I'm probably 90%, somewhere along those lines, probably 90.72%. Ted says, too much hype around Nico. Battered ball syndrome kicking in. Can we say... New poll question, battered ball syndrome. Is it done? Is it over with? Or are you still suffering? How about that? Because on your down year, you made a January 1st bowl game. And then your really good year, you beat Alabama and were in contention for the college football playoff. Isn't it time to sit down battered ball syndrome? Is that still a thing with our fans? I want to hear from you on the message board, too, before we get to our next topic.
Battered ball syndrome goes all the way back to 2001 when Tennessee beat Florida to get to number two, and all they had to do was beat an LSU team that lost its starting quarterback and its starting running back and that was trailing them 17-7 in the SEC championship game at halftime, and then they didn't know how to stop the quarterback draw with the best defensive tackle duo in the history of college football. Yeah, right. That's battered ball syndrome. And it has gotten worse and worse ever since. I have the greatest amount of sympathy for people who have battered ball syndrome. However, I will say this to you, Vol fans, and because I have so much sympathy for everything you're going through. Tennessee has more competent leadership than they've ever had before, all the way to the top. They have finally taken a stand against the incompetent boosters that tried to run that program like feudal lords as their own little, you know, playpens for a long time. I think that those things by themselves break the curse of battered ball syndrome. The only question becomes, and I do believe this, and because I've seen it with Kentucky, with Tennessee. I don't believe there's curses, but magical curses, but I do believe the mentality of a fan base can creep into the players. Is that fair to say, Dave? Like the mentality of the fan base.
And I'll give you a specific example. It's Tennessee Florida week. Back in the day, back in the 90s, there was a tightness, a tenseness, and that came from the community. That came from the other students on campus saying, can you actually beat Florida this year? Yeah, there was, I'll give you, that's a specific example. And players admitted to me that they got tight during the game. That's the only time any player has admitted some sort of mental shortcoming.
And you know what's funny about you saying that? That's why Florida still has owned Tennessee over the past 20 years. They've beaten Tennessee inexplicably at times because the fans still have that feeling of we can't beat Florida. I think it goes to the NFL. Even if the Cowboys do have the best team, Dave, don't you think that your Cowboys would struggle in the playoffs because the fan base is so concerned about what would happen in the playoffs?
Oh, I was so ready for the Cowboys to get knocked out of the playoffs. I knew it was coming.
Well, you thought they were overrated defensively, didn't you?
Well, no, I thought they were pretty good. But, I mean, overrated defensively once they lost the cornerback. But anyway, if you're just expecting bad things to happen, and sometimes bad things happen, but I will tell you what, I think it's way beyond that. I just don't even think that that's a real thing or should be a real thing anymore. Battered ball syndrome. It just seems played out to me. It seems like you got a new direction. You got a solid coach. What are you worried about? Nevertheless, Josh Heupel said Cam Seldon might not be ready by the fall. First, I want to remind you that tomorrow we will be giving away pretty cool prizes. And as a matter of fact, it is a John Henderson autographed mini helmet, thanks to our friends at Sports Treasures. Also, anyone that signs up in the next 24 hours will win a prize, thanks to our friends at Apex Apparel. I shared that right now so you can see it. Look at that. There we go. We've got a couple hats. We've got license plates. We've got shirts. We've got flags. That flag's pretty sweet. So whoever joins the Hooker's Corner today in the next 24 hours will get to choose from one of those prizes. I'm putting the link right there in the message board. So let's go at it. And tomorrow, you have to be a paid member for the drawing, but tomorrow we will give away that John Henderson helmet. So please sign up for that. That's worth a few $100. All right. We thank our friends at Sports Treasures for being a part of Hooker's Corner, carrying over 5 million sports treasures and so much more. Follow on Facebook for the best sports memorabilia. Daily update, Sports Treasures TN, on Facebook. Josh Heupel couldn't commit to Cam Seldon. The running back who was injured for the last half of spring practice with a shoulder and might not play in the fall. What do you make of that? I said at the time, before he was injured, that Seldon, they're apparently happy with him. Now, that was before he was injured. You and I still haven't seen much of him other than some spring practice jaunts. Is this a minor concern or a big concern, Tennessee's running back position?
So, yeah, so Josh Heupel said that he doesn't know if Cam Seldon will be available in the fall. Tennessee lost Jabari Small and Jalen Wright to the NFL. They didn't add a running back in the portal in December, and they're not going to add one in the spring. They have Dylan Sampson, who is an all-purpose back, can't be a feature back. Khalifa Keith, your physical kind of goal line back. And Deshaun Bishop, who, again, I don't think they expect to get much out of Deshaun Bishop in general.
Likely a walk on.
So everything, all of their eggs are in the basket of either Cam Seldon being healthy and actually being able to see the field, which I question, or Peyton Lewis, who was out in the spring because of injuries, working out as a freshman. I think this is a huge concern for Tennessee because, well, let me step back. It's not a huge concern in the sense of I don't think that the running backs have to be that special in Tennessee's system to be that good. But I think you need at least one running back who can pick up pass pro and who is athletic in open space. Khalifa Keith probably can do pass pro. He's physical enough, but he's not athletic in open space. Dylan Sampson is athletic in open space and can't pass pro to save his life. So you need Peyton Lewis or Cam Seldon or Deshaun Bishop to work out. Assuming Deshaun Bishop's not going to work out, putting a lot of eggs in Peyton Lewis's and Cam Seldon's baskets, and Lewis was hurt. You don't know what you're going to get with him at all. Seldon now may not go, and Seldon I don't think is that good when he does go, because he has vision issues, which is the other only thing you have to have in playing in Josh Heupel's offense. So I think not adding a running back is a really big concern for Tennessee in the portal. I think they could have added just a basic average running back and been effective, but they didn't add a basic average running back.
So let's be real clear. You're not out there looking for the five-star transfer prospect. You're just looking for a body.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I think a body can work out in this system at running back.
I agree. And given that, I'm actually going to agree with you that it was an oversight. I don't think it wasn't an oversight. They didn't forget to recruit a running back, but it was their decision not to take one. The only argument that I could have that they wouldn't take one and just get the live body, so to speak, is that they're either out of scholarships, which isn't the case because they would have run somebody off to make room for one, or they are so confident in Peyton Lewis and Cam Seldon and what they have with Dylan Sampson. If none of those guys gets injured, then Seldon and Lewis are at very least dudes. They might not be Jamal Lewis's in year one, but they'll be dudes. And Dylan Sampson will be your special player. So if zero injuries, I got no problem. But you and I both know injuries happen at running back.
Yes, and they need a feature back. They're putting their eggs in either Seldon or Lewis to be that. Both are hurt. I mean, both of them are hurt right now. And again, you're right. You can just be a dude or a body. But I say that because people are going to call me inconsistent because I said you can be a dude or a body in Josh Heupel's system. So then why don't you believe in Seldon or Lewis? Because even though you can be just a dude or body, there's also, you would agree, if you're just a body, there's still a base level of talent you have to have, right? A base level of ability.
Right, you're just talking about having 13 eggs instead of 12 eggs.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you're not saying one egg's better than the other. I would certainly rather risk my running back future on a completely healthy player that transferred from another school as opposed to a banged up guy, unless I know innately and inside information just how hurt he is, just how much it will affect him down the road. So I don't yet have a problem with it, but if there's one injury, you've got a problem.
You've got, yeah. Well, because you don't know if Peyton Lewis or Cam Seldon can meet the minimum base level of being able to play in Josh Heupel's system. Again, there's not a Jamal Lewis necessary, because Josh Heupel can turn average guys into looking like Jamal Lewis sometimes because of his system. But there's a base level. I don't know if Peyton Lewis has it. I haven't seen it. Dave, I don't think Cam Seldon has it, because Cam Seldon's vision is so god-awful that, again, I don't even think he can meet the base level in Josh Heupel's system. So with that in mind,
vision is not some innate, but it's not completely innate. You can learn keys, and he could end up being a good tailback. It's not like saying a guy can only throw the ball 20 yards at quarterback.
True, but I think this type of vision can be a little bit innate, because the one instinct you do have to have some instinctual vision in Heupel system, because it's, remember, there's not, you don't have slow developing counter plays or run plays in this system. It's, you got to hit the hole immediately, right?
Yeah, you have to hit it. Options.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't the best example. Remember the 2001 team that was so good with Travis Stevens? Travis Stevens, that was almost all the running plays were a little bit slow developing, weren't they? And then Stevens would cut, because it was a cut and run system, basically. You're not doing that here. It's a draw. I mean, it's a handoff out of the shotgun, and it's, you got to find the hole immediately and go. That is innate, honestly. And I'm not. And if you don't have it, I don't think you're going to have it, quite honestly. And so I just don't think Cam Seldon has it.
You know what else I think stun you? I would argue Jamal Lewis didn't have elite vision, that he ran over people because he was bigger and faster than them. What if Cam Seldon is that guy?
Different. That, again, those running plays could be slow developing, so Lewis had a little bit more time to figure out to find the hole. You have to think a lot quicker to hit the hole in Josh Heupel's system. Jamal Lewis, I know he didn't have elite vision, because the Florida game in 99, the toss sweep to Jamal on 4th and 3, go back and look at it. If Jamal doesn't cut inside, he gets that first down. But he cut inside instead of running to the outside where he should have. So I agree with you about that. But again, isn't it fair to say that run plays were a lot more slow developing under Fulmer and David Cutcliffe in that time period?
Yes, there was more pulling. There was a lot more movement on the offensive line as far as pulling them around. The question I have is, if 100% healthy, which nobody's 100% healthy by November, but if 100% healthy, no significant injuries, are you good with this group? Or are you still ignorant? And I don't mean ignorant as dumb. I mean, we just don't know how good Peyton Lewis is or Cam Seldon is. I will admit that I'm ignorant, that I've seen enough and I know enough that I have an outside view of them, but I can't tell sometimes if people are telling me the absolute truth or they're telling me what they want to believe. So I've got a really good feel for every other position on the team, but running back, I'm not so sure. How big of a mistake did Jabari Small make? Caleb, brought to you by the Hemp House, the premier hemp dispensary online, with a wide variety, great selection, and strict standards to ensure you only receive the best in CBD or Delta products. Go to HempHouseChatWith2Ts.com. HempHouseChatWith2Ts.com. Use the promo code HOOKED, that's HOOKED, for 10% off. A 1-2 punch with Dylan Sampson and Jabari Small would be pretty darn awesome for the Vols right now. And I don't think Jabari Small is great. He would be the compliment. Don't get me wrong.
No, but Jabari Small is.
Go ahead.
Jabari Small is what I talked about. Just base level of skill, and he can pass pro. He's got quick vision, and he's got base level of athleticism. Yeah. He made a mistake. Now I understand his frustration. Maybe because
frustration was Jalen Wright passed him, and he felt, based off source, that it was unfair and that he could have done the very same thing that Jalen Wright did. Now, you and I watched those two backs, and we know that that's not really true.
That's not the case at all. I think partially – here's where I try to – and normally I'm not this fair to athletes, but to try to get in the mind of Jabari Small, He did, you talk about a guy that my understanding of Jabari Small, he did all, he went above and beyond with his work ethic to do what needed to be due, to do what he needed to do. And he was, I mean, he picked up every pass block. He took care of the football. I mean, he was, I get the feeling, Dave, where you're the hardest worker on the team, you get the starting job and you're still the hardest worker, but then you lose your starting job to a guy who unfortunately is just more athletic than you. And there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, I get the frustration.
The only reason Jalen Rott wasn't the guy the year before is because he had some fumbling issues. I mean,
which because he was hurt in spring camp and fall camp.
Right. It just goes to show you that families make the worst decisions for these guys of say, go on to the NFL. Sometimes the kids still make a very poor decision as well. Maybe it was on him. Maybe he needed the money, whatever the money might be, a few $100,000 in the NFL, that can be game changing money to a lot of people. But I completely agree with Travis. Small would have been the man this year.
There's another factor to this. Let's be fair to Jabari Small. I don't think Jabari Small thought Tennessee wasn't going. I think Jabari Small thought Tennessee was going to take another running back in the portal to beat him out. And I don't think he wanted to take that chance because I don't think Jabari Small wanted to be. I'll give you an example of a great guy, by the way, Jabari Davis. Remember Jabari Davis stayed at Tennessee and was a reliable running back filling in for Cedric Houston in 2002 and 2003. What happens in 2004? Cedric Houston stays healthy. Gerald Riggs emerges. Jabari Davis is kind of pushed behind both of them. And
but it was going to happen anyway. The more talented,
which is why Jabari Davis should have left early for the pros in 2003. He might have had a chance to sign with the team. And I mean, maybe that was Jabari Small's thinking. What happens? Hindsight's 2020. What happens, Dave, if you're Jabari Small? You decide to stay at Tennessee, and they go pick a 5-star running back out of the transfer portal, and then you're not starting at all next year. You even further kill your NFL stock.
No, you don't want to be the second string running back on your own team when you're headed into the NFL draft, but he just needed to be realistic. I mean, and Caleb, I wonder too if Josh Heupel ran out of NIL money. I mean, I don't know what Cooper Mays got, but I know the minimum is $950,000 in the NFL, so you would think it would have to be comparable. And by comparable, I mean six digits. I'm not talking $750,000, but you would think six digits. If you really wanted Jabari Small, couldn't you make a couple of phone calls and get those six digits together?
Probably, but I think Jabari Small was going to take his chances in the NFL for generational wealth. And by the way, he landed with an incompetent organization, so even if he's not that good, he still might get a big contract later down the road because, the Titans don't know what they're doing. There, I got my shot at the Titans then.
I don't know that he won't be a decent player in the NFL. I hope he will, because I always feel bad for these guys that make an early jump and it bites them. And you know when it bites you in the NFL draft, in the night when you've got all your family around watching to see where you get drafted. He should have made Jacob Warren's decision. Jacob Warren came back. He didn't get drafted, but he's such an intelligent guy. He looked at it and he said, I can make X coming back for sure, or I may be able to make 950. But if I don't make a team, I lose out on a year of football. You've only got so much football in your life, Caleb. How many carries do you think Jabari Small will get next year?
Oh, probably none. He'll probably be on the reserve squad.
Okay. How much would he have gotten from Tennessee?
Oh, I'm sure he would have been the featured back. So I'm trying to doing the math in my head. I mean, I'm thinking, what's 15 times, I'm thinking he'd be approaching 200 carries at Tennessee this year. Yeah. Now, but Dave, again, this is hindsight. Jacob Warren knew for a verifiable fact he was going to be a starting tight end coming back for 2023. Jabari Small had every reason in the world to believe that Tennessee was going to take a running back out of the portal and nudge him out, because they wanted somebody better because he had just lost his job. I think Jabari Small, if he knew
you
what
think
he knows,
was really wait a second. You think he was really scared about somebody that he didn't even know that could come in, yes, and take his job? Okay, well, yes, that's the most insecure decision you could possibly make. If you don't if you don't have enough confidence in yourself, or you're worried about something that you can't control. Now, it's one thing if Jalen Rott was coming back another year, but this is set up for him.
But I mean, Jabari Small, Jabari Small just saw the coaches nudge him behind Jalen Wright. He probably thought they were going to get somebody else in the portal. And so he, in his mind, he's probably thinking, I got to sign with an NFL team now. My stock will even tank further the next year because they're going to not play me. He probably, and look, if Jabari Small knew what he knows now,
Caleb,
he would have come back. He wishes he would be at Tennessee.
Caleb, you're going old school. This isn't old school. He could get paid at Tennessee. I mean, it could hurt
he
your
could
draft.
He could get paid one year versus multiple years.
But his draft evaluation had to say late rounds free agent. So he could have gotten paid from Tennessee probably as much or more than he's going to get paid from the NFL because he wasn't drafted.
Yes, but if you get into the NFL, you got a chance at some point down the road to sign a contract. If Jabari Small stayed at Tennessee in 2023 or 2024 and he got nudged as a backup running back again, no NFL team would have even given him a shot in 2025. And that's the difference.
All right, let's circle it back around. I think you're going to be judged ultimately on your running ability. So I disagree with getting nudged down. I mean, Travis Henry was a second stringer to Jamal Lewis, and that worked out. But with...
He got lucky.
Well, yeah, probably did get lucky. But this makes me wonder if Jabari Small thinks that Peyton Lewis and Cam Seldon are special. If you look at it and you say, those two guys are as good or better than me, suddenly three guys. Now I'll back you on that. If you're behind three guys, then you're not an NFL back. But he wouldn't have been behind three guys, I don't believe.
He might have been behind Peyton Lewis, so that's a good one. I didn't even think about that. I don't think he would have been behind Cam Seldon, but I think he would have been behind Peyton Lewis. And because I'm pretty high on Peyton Lewis too, the player. So
I was also told there was some hurt feelings. There was maybe some distrust along the way. I'm not blaming anybody. You can have a miscommunication, but I think there were some emotions involved. I think when he hung up his Tennessee helmet for the last time, he knew it was the last time before he even got his draft evaluation. Would you agree with that?
Oh, that's I think that's probably true. And before anybody judges Jabari Small on that, I got a name for you, Johnny Majors. Look at how he handled being let go by Tennessee. It was, you know this, Dave. He spent 10 years just taking shots at the program out of bitterness.
Yep.
And now, so if coaches can do that, players can.
Now, some guys that could help those running backs are Tennessee's wide receivers. Let me see who asked that. Carlos said, how's our wide receiver group talent-wise? Share that with Carlos, because I think Tennessee's receivers – can help open up running lanes tremendously. Remind you that Ray Varner Ford is local. Trust them. Innovation you can afford. RayVarnerFord.com. RayVarnerFord.com. The receivers should help open things up, right? They're good to really good.
Yes, and for those who weren't listening yesterday, Jimmy Hyams, who is very reserved on Tennessee, disagreed with Josh Heupel saying they were deeper than they've been since he's been there, but did acknowledge that Tennessee's deeper at receiver than they've been since he's been there. And I think Tennessee is loaded with receiver. They should help open things up. And for those questioning the receiver play last year, there's a glaring elephant in the room about why the receiver play took a dip last year. And I think that glaring elephant in the room is not going to be there this year. And so I think that the receivers and the quarterback delivering them the ball can open things up for the running game. But that's always the way Heupel's offense works. The question is, can the run game the run game is still key, though, because of the vision that's necessary to hit those holes and the pass pro. And again, this was Dylan Sampson's problem in the Citrus Bowl. Guys, as good as Nico Iamaleava played, he probably missed maybe three more amazing passes because Dylan Sampson kept missing on blocks. And I don't care how good the receivers are, if Dylan Sampson's going to whiff on blocks or if Cam Seldon's not going to be able to see the hole, well, that's going to totally mess up the offense, because those big plays that you love in Josh Heupel's offense, and Dave, you know this, they're not there if Josh Heupel doesn't stay committed to the run game first.
Very fair. Tennessee's 2024 schedule, we've said before that it's favorable for the Vols. You said unfairly easy this morning. What do you mean by unfairly easy? You can't be unfairly easy in the SEC.
Unfairly easy relative to other SEC teams. because the SEC has a really, really, really stupid model this year. Okay? It is 16 teams, no divisions, and an 8-game schedule. Do you know how vastly different that makes the schedules? And they, like, you have to take schedule strength into account almost when you're doing that. And they didn't. My issue with this is, okay, say what I think happens. I think Oklahoma is overrated. And I think under Brent Venables, it's going to be exposed massively this year. So I think that's a very easy, I actually think that's a perfect situation for Tennessee to light it up and Nico Iamaleava to become a star, because I think they're overrated. And I don't know how you feel, Dave, but I think Josh Heupel has got something special prepared for Oklahoma, don't you?
Oh, there's no question in my mind. The same way Missouri came up with a totally different defense, they will come up with something not vastly different, but there will be some wrinkles because of his ties to Oklahoma.
Exactly. I think Oklahoma, I think they're going to demoralize him so much that Brent Venables, who's not a great head coach, Oklahoma, that has some issues, is going to unravel throughout the season. I think Alabama could take a massive step back under Kalen DeBoer. Say those two things happen. Oklahoma regresses. Alabama takes a step back. Tennessee gets to play Mississippi State. They get to play Arkansas. Their only tough game is Georgia this year. They're avoiding Ole Miss and they're avoiding Auburn. And who I think Ole Miss is going to be good still. And Auburn, I think, is going to take a step forward under Hugh Freeze. Whatever you think about Hugh Freeze, homeboy can coach. So I think Tennessee got the break of breaks in their schedule. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think there are certain teams in the SEC that if it's down to Tennessee and that team for the final spot in the SEC championship game, they shouldn't just go by record. I don't think that's fair. I think, for instance, Tennessee has to finish two games ahead of Florida.
Okay, that's crazy. And I know you're
being... Now, Florida's not going to compete for the SEC title game. So that's a different story.
Okay, so Tennessee's schedule, Tennessee fans deserve it. They deserve it after what they've been through. And don't think the SEC isn't aware of that. Don't think the SEC doesn't want Tennessee to be great. They absolutely do. People think they look out for Alabama. No, they'd love for all of their programs to be.
They punished Alabama too. Look at Alabama's schedule. They punished Alabama.
Yeah. So I don't know, punish the right word, but they didn't help them. I don't know why they would punish them. But with Tennessee's schedule, do you think the SEC maybe had some motivation to help the Vols out? Do you think this was just tumblers that came out of one of those big lottery spinning machines, or how did they do this? Because this was starting from scratch, essentially, and Tennessee's schedule, based on how you look at it, is really either really easy or pretty easy. Do you think they did that on purpose?
Well, some of these, the SEC was trying to protect rivalries for this first year. So Vanderbilt, Kentucky for Tennessee, just there's history there. Whatever you think, if you think those series should end, I get it. But like, Dave, those are the third and fourth most played games in the second and third most played games in the history of the SEC.
Sure.
So they wanted to protect those.
Sure.
Florida, just because of the past 25 years, they wanted to protect Florida. And then Alabama and Georgia, obviously. And then they had to pick between Oklahoma and Texas. I don't know if it was they wanted to help Tennessee with Oklahoma. I just think they knew there was a great storyline of Josh Heupel facing Oklahoma their first year in the SEC. So it could be one of those. But I will give you Arkansas and Mississippi State. They didn't have to give them Arkansas and Mississippi State. They easily could have given them LSU and Ole Miss instead of those, or LSU and Auburn, or Auburn and Ole Miss. They gave them Arkansas and Mississippi State. So, yeah, no, I think they wanted Tennessee to do well because I think they know it's good for their brand when Tennessee is on TV. I think they also know this. Tennessee's marketable right now with Nico Iamaleava in that offense.
Yeah.
And marketability helps.
You're right. I mean, how many programs can do what Tennessee did? And that is in the SEC. And that is jam a stadium full, take 40,000 to bowl trips, have the support they have, the NIL support. How many schools are there in the SEC that you think have that type of ability where the SEC would say, man, we would like it where they would be good. I mean, Kentucky could get up to 10 wins in a season, and that doesn't move the needle in the SEC. But if Tennessee gets to a championship level, that moves the needle. How many schools have that type of fan support that you would take into account in the SEC?
I think they're about six or seven, because I do think Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Florida actually the most, because when Florida is totally dependent on whether or not they're good, isn't it? When they're good, they're selling out a lot, but when their fans are a bit fair weather, aren't they?
Yes, younger.
Because the weather's so fair there.
Nouveau riche is what it's called. You know what that means?
What does that mean?
New rich. Because they were called
new money. So they're Orange County rich, not Connecticut rich. I guess
they're getting a little bit older, but yes, it can be a fickle crowd. I've been there where it's been like you're at a cemetery,
and there's a lot of history reasons for that. I mean, most of the people in Florida, they don't go back generations in that state. They moved there, whereas like Tennessee, you know, your family probably goes back generations in Tennessee, doesn't it?
As far as I know.
Yeah, so that's a big difference. But you are right about that. But I think a lot of them do have passionate fans. I think where it is with Tennessee is a lot of these other programs they think are already going to be good, so they don't have to worry about the fan base. Now, Tennessee has a fan base they don't have to worry about either. But like, I think it's like, okay, maybe they think they need to help Tennessee a little bit. They don't have to help Georgia. When they made this schedule, they didn't think they had to help Alabama because Nick Saban was still at Alabama when they made the schedule, which is why they gave Alabama the most brutal schedule possible. Greg Sankey was trying to punish Nick Saban because Nick Saban's stronger on the SEC and not going to nine games. That's what really happened, Dave. And so
it's debatable. It's debatable. When they put the schedule together, I would just like to be the fly on the wall to see if they are.
They're not going to say it out loud, but Greg Sankey would be like, I think it's really good if, you know, if it makes sense for Alabama to play these teams. I'm sorry. I don't do a good Greg Sankey impression, but
Travis says Hookers and Tennessee just go together. That's right. They do. And Travis also says, if Oklahoma beats us, it will propel them and destroy us. It will be humiliating.
Yes, it will. It will. And by the way,
no, wait.
We know
humiliating is too strong. If they lose a 1-point game in Norman, that's not humiliating.
Yes, it is. They Why? Need to win that game. Well, because Oklahoma is not that.
It's disappointing, but it's not humiliating. Humiliating is like you leave the stadium and you're afraid to show your face in public.
Oklahoma's not that good this year. And Tennessee, if they don't beat Oklahoma, that means they're another 8-4 team this year. And if they're 8-4 this year, they will be a perennial 8-4 team under Josh Heupel. There is no hope for championships if you're an 8-4 team this year. Okay? I'm telling you guys that. That's why, okay, it's maybe not humiliating, but it's disastrous. It is disastrous.
It's not disastrous. You can't have a disastrous loss in September with this format. Now, that's the one thing that you have to give this format of the college football playoff. Used to be the Tennessee-Florida game, if you lost that, you weren't going to compete for a championship. But now with this, you have to give the college football playoff that. You can lose a game in September. And what's going to be the narrative that would come out of Tennessee's camp if they lost to Oklahoma? It's going to be, that's fine. We can work on things. We still have everything to play for. And they do.
Hey, we just talked about battered vol syndrome. No, battered vol syndrome would creep into the players so devastatingly at that point because everybody would think it's a disaster on campus. Everybody. Tennessee has to beat Oklahoma. I'm going to say this. They have to. Okay? This is like Yoda from Star Wars, do or do not. There is no try. Okay? They have to beat Oklahoma. I'm putting everything on them. They better beat them. Josh Heupel had better win that game. He'd better beat NC State, too, to be honest. And I think NC State might be more difficult than Oklahoma. It's just the neutral site game makes NC State a little bit easier. Although neutral site Charlotte, it's going to be more Tennessee fans than NC State fans there. But they have to beat Oklahoma.
I don't know this, but I've been told there actually are no NC State fans.
They actually have the best. In terms of football fan base, they're probably the best in the state of North Carolina. They're probably better than UNC or Duke or Wake.
Wow.
Well, I would add, if you were the SEC and you were expanding, Dave, you can call me crazy. Greg Sankey wouldn't do this because of his alma mater, but I would add NC State before I added North Carolina to the SEC.
Goodness, it seems a little strong. Apex Apparel Group, That's who supplies our prizes, and all you have to do is join Hooker's Corner, and we'll take care of you with great prizes. We're giving away that John Henderson helmet tomorrow, so we encourage you to check that out, thanks to Sports Treasures. Also, anybody that signs up in the next 24 hours will receive their selection of the prizes that we have displayed right there on Hooker's Corner. So please check that out. I'll go ahead and put the link in the box so you can check it out one more time. Coming up, a very interesting topic, as the NCAA maybe thinks that they can curb bowl opt-outs. I don't see how that's possible. I don't see how the money's even possibly there. 2 minutes with Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports.
Bronco, 59,829, 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540, 24 Ford Explorer, XLT, four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
Sports Treasures in North Knoxville is one of the South's largest sports cards and memorabilia dealers, featuring over 10 million sports cards from vintage to modern. Sports Treasures carries a full line of hobby boxes, singles, autographed memorabilia, Tennessee Vol collectibles, fan cave decorations, and so much more. See a museum full of collectibles at Sports Treasures, 4819 North Broadway in Fountain City, and Sports Treasures on Facebook. Sports Treasures, where the real sports fan goes to shop.
Have you seen the latest TriStar Hats Co. product?
TriStar Hats Co.? What's that?
You know, those really cool hats, shirts, tumblers, and even license plates with three stars like the official Tennessee flag and stripes like the American flag. Pretty patriotic, if you ask me.
Ah, gotcha. Seen those. Those are cool. Where can I get them?
Simple. TriStarHatsCo.com. And if you order now, there's 10% on any order $50 or more. Plus, use the promo code HOOKED.
With the promo code HOOKED, you get 10% off. That's HOOKED.
And don't forget free shipping with any order over $50. Stock up at TriStarHatsCo.com. That's TriStarHatsCo.com. There are plenty of wannabes out there, so make sure you go to TriStarHatsCo.com for the best quality and customer service.
Will do, and I'll be sure to use the promo code HOOKED. That's HOOKED when I do, to save an additional 10% off. TriStarHatsCo.com.
TriStar Hats Co. is a trademark of TriStar Hats Co. LLC. Any use without express written consent is prohibited.
Now in its 45th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Neubert Collision Center.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
You're listening to The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
The internet is full of pictures of each and every one of you.
Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app. Download now for free.
Is there nothing you people can't do?
Also available on OffTheHookSports.com.
Welcome back. Now, I will give our message for this one thing, and Timothy and Travis are in this debate about losing to Oklahoma, if it would be disastrous or not. I will give you this. From a public relations standpoint, it would be disastrous. So, Caleb, maybe that's where you and I differ a little bit, because I think Tennessee would stop being the hot team. Nico would stop being the hot quarterback. But I think as a team, maybe that's where you and I differ. Because as a team, I don't think it would be disastrous. I don't think they would fold up shop in September. Is that maybe where you and I were different? You don't think?
Well, I think they're interrelated, though, because I think Tennessee, a lot of this program under Josh Heupel, now a lot of people don't like this because it's, you know, the old school fans. It's all about defense and toughness and winning your football games on the line of scrimmage. But a lot of what's selling Tennessee right now is flash. And a lot of the program depends on the flash that makes it kind of sexy. I mean, it's not on the level of what Deion needs at Colorado, but it's in that same vein where they need some flash, because the selling point is Josh Heupel's offense. Very similar to Dave, and it, like, what sold Florida in the 90s under Spurrier was the flash, wasn't it? Like, they had to be a little bit different from Miami and Florida State, and it was the flash and the fun and gun, wasn't it? And that's how they recruited.
No, and that was a big part of it. There's no question that was a big part of it. I think that Tennessee, though, if they were to lose to Oklahoma, I'll point to one of their keys to recruiting, which you snicker at, but is their culture. I think their culture would help them bounce back. Now, that's if teams aren't the same from 22 to 23 to 24. There's a complete different set of characters. Sometimes we try to say that all that those teams are just the same team. Well, no, they're not. So the right leaders have to step up. Why might we be done with bowl opt-outs, Caleb, which would make me joyful?
Well, so the NCAA is attempting a way to make bowl games more relevant. And this is discussed in the revenue sharing model that the SEC and Big Ten are spearheading, which is part of the idea is allow players to take part and share in the revenue generated by the bowl games if they play. And maybe some rewards if you win or something like that. And the idea is you can, if you give them financial rewards, they won't opt out. Spoiler alert, if you're a number one draft pick as a quarterback, you're still going to opt out of the bowl game because that's chump change compared to what you're going to make in the draft.
Yep. So, I mean, there is no possible way that a bowl could pay out that much money that it would make a difference as far as personnel. To go a little bit deeper, do you really care if players opt out of a meaningless bowl game? Now, if a player opted out of a playoff game, I think you would agree his name would be Mud in Knoxville for the rest of his life. But if it's just an old bowl game, an old Citrus Bowl, an old Outback Bowl, do you think that most fans really care if they opt out or not?
No, and I've told you this as a fan of a team. I like opt-outs because if you're not going to be not, I don't resent it at all because if I'm a fan of a team, if you're not going to be on my team next year, which is fine, you want to go to the NFL, I like the idea of bowl practices to get ready for next year, right? And how can I get ready for next year if a guy who's not going to be on my team is taking up the first team reps? And I mean, wasn't everybody in Knoxville happy that Joe Milton opted out of the Citrus Bowl, Dave? Everybody was happy. It helped. It was a win-win, right? It was a win for Milton. He could focus on the draft, and he couldn't hurt his draft stock. But it was a win for Tennessee because Tennessee could then get ready for Nico, and everybody got to see what Nico would look like in an actual game. I thought it was the perfect scenario. Now, as far as meaningless bowl games, on top of that, for people that don't like it, I'm going to call out this idea. You can't have two thoughts in your head. You cannot have a problem with bowl opt-outs, but also be a fan of the expanded college football playoff. Because the expanded college football playoff is what made bowl games meaningless. Josh Pate says this all the time, and he's right. The phrase meaningless bowl game, Dave, did not exist 10 years ago. No one ever said it. At all. It wasn't until the playoff that meaningless bowl games became a thing. And they became a thing because the playoff sucked all the energy out of the rest of the bowl games. You've now made a 12-team playoff. How in the world, with the coverage of a 12-team playoff, do you expect the Citrus Bowl to generate it? That's going to be...
They're going to generate less money than they generate now because their TV ratings will go down. Yeah. Where bowls will be in 5 or 10 years, I don't know, but it wouldn't stun me if they didn't exist and it was all just a playoff sport.
Exactly. So I'm just going to tell you guys, having grown up in Memphis with the Liberty, you know, the Liberty Bowl was always like, it wasn't a big bowl or anything like that. But when it happened, it was the cover story on the Commercial Appeal the next day, which is the local Memphis newspaper. It was the main story, the Liberty Bowl. That was the result. It was a big event. Those type of bowl games, Dave, for the newspapers that still exist, they're going to be on the back page of their local newspapers now. They won't even be the lead sports story for their local newspaper anymore. And you know this, bowl games were a city that hosted a bowl game back in the day, the results of that bowl game was the cover story for that city's local paper, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was the cover story for the sports section. I mean, the lead and a sidebar most of the time.
Yeah.
By the way, I tried to buy a Knoxville News Sentinel the other day, and it was $3.21. Pass. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is the problem. I guarantee you the Orlando Sentinel, the Citrus Bowl will be on page 4 of the sports section this year. And that's it's totally devalued what was so the greatness of the bowl game. Was it brought relevance to it was a way the whole guys, you know, I'm gonna shamelessly plug my history
for season. You and I see the bowl games such a different way. To me, they've special, distinguished. None of those would describe a bowl game. It is practically an exhibition game, except for the college football playoff and the BCS championship game before that. I've never thought when I went to a bowl and covered it that, boy, if they lose today, it's going to mess them up next year. If they win today, that sets a pot. It just doesn't really have an effect on the following year. Sometimes I think it's evident that the players don't think much of bowl games either.
I think it has a big effect. I think it used to. I'll give you an example. I think that 95 Citrus Bowl when Tennessee beat Ohio State, I think that helped propel Tennessee to a national level for recruiting. They were already recruiting extremely well, but them beating Ohio State when they did with Peyton Manning, I think was a huge part of that 90, getting that 97 recruiting class that was so elite with Jamal Lewis, Cedric Wilson, and those guys. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, and there was a point of pride of, okay, I know this is weird. You're going to call me a guy who liked participation trophies. You're going to say I sound like a millennial, and maybe I do. I kind of liked the fact that you had something to hang your hat on, even if you didn't win the national championship, which college football felt like the only sport that had that. And I know that seems lame. I know it's sappy. And I called you sappy earlier for saying you play for something with the SEC championship. So I'm being a hypocrite. So I'll be the first to say it. I'm being a hypocrite right now. But I did value the SEC championship too. I'm just saying this new playoff is sucking the energy out of that. And it has totally sucked the energy out of bowl games. As a fan now of a team, if you're a fan of a team and your team wins a bowl game and you go tell fans, hey, we won this bowl, the rest of the world will be like, oh, that's great. Let's go talk about this college football playoff. No one's going to pay you a second of attention for winning a bowl game anymore. And I think that's what I hate about college football. I love the bowls, Dave. It's something that January 1st was so much fun.
Well, it was, but it was from a nostalgic standpoint. It wasn't from a TV rating standpoint. I mean, you and I both know the TV ratings for this college football playoff are going to far exceed what they were for the bowl games. So I was nostalgic about it. I can remember one time covering a Chick-fil-A bowl that was going to be played on, I think, the 2nd for some reason. I drove home to watch football all day from Atlanta with my wife on January the 1st because that was a special day. But when's the last time that's been a special day? They've moved them around for TV so much. It's not like the NFL owns Thanksgiving. It doesn't feel like that at all. It just feels like they're just interspersed among some meaningful NFL games.
Oh, no. The cat's out of the bag. And it started with the college football playoff. The cat's out of the bag. And that was out of the bag 10 years ago. Which is why when we're talking about these opt-outs, the real story, Dave, are the bowl games even going to have money to pay players who play? Because, I feel like most of them are going to lose money.
No, that's actually my point. And are you going to, what are you going to do? Call Josh Heupel and say, which one of your players is considering leaving early and which ones do we need to give more money to? Is Josh Heupel going to single guys out? Is he going to say some guys are great and they're not going to play? You need to pay this guy or some guys aren't? That puts him in a very untenable position. Are they going to wait until, like in the case with Joe Milton, where he announced it in the middle of the month? It just seems incredibly difficult to change opt-outs to meaningless bowl games. I've said it before. At the time, I hated it. Christian McCaffrey started it all. You're right, Travis. But I've said it before. I didn't like it at the time. If it were my son, though, I would tell him not to play in a bowl game. That was meaningless. You're about to have a little one. What would you tell them?
I would tell them not to play in the bowl game too. But let me be very clear on this. If I were the head coach of the program, I would want my player to not play in the bowl game. If you're Josh Heupel,
you would just soon get ready for next year.
Yeah, just get ready for next year.
Okay, I'm going to say that C word again, culture. If you start doing that, you are going to lose some seniors, which can then affect the overall team chemistry. which I think you undervalue. But those seniors are going to be gone, so you could argue that's fine.
There's already going to be opt-outs. I mean, the opt-outs started Josh Heupel's first year. I don't think that's hurt the culture. I think everybody understands that. You know, you think about moving on. I mean, think about it this way. Whatever organization or thing you were in college and high school, you remember, Dave. Like, you remember, like, say you're in band or something. I don't know. Your seniors towards the end of the year, just, you remember, they just kind of just take the last 3 weeks off of school, right? They know they're out of there and they're gone. That doesn't change anything about the next year. And so I don't think that messes with the culture too much. I think players are mature enough to understand what players are wanting to do and what players need to do. So I think the opt-outs help the team more than it helps the player, honestly.
Yeah. Travis has been on top of it today. He's our poster of the day. He says, throughout history, how many players have been injured in a bowl game and didn't make it to the NFL? Travis, I would respond to that with, how many NFL scouts or coaches have said his bowl game was so impressively incredible that we moved him up two rounds on our board?
I can tell you who did that. I can tell you right now who did that. Al Davis. Jamarcus Russell balled out against Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl, and Al Davis was stupid enough to think, well, he's a number one draft pick.
Yep, I can't argue that. He's Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. Don't forget, the John Henderson helmet goes out tomorrow. It's autographed by John Henderson. It's brought to you by our friends at Sports Treasures. And you have to be a member of Hooker's Corner to join. And the next people who join Hooker's Corner over the next 24 hours will get your choice of the prizes that are on your screen. Or if you're listening on an audio platform, a couple of awesome TriStar hats, one in the American style, one in the orange ball style. I also have a license plate, an awesome flag, and more to give away. So tomorrow we will be giving away that John Henderson helmet. It's all on Hooker's Corner, which I have linked in our message board. Would love for you to be a part, and you get quick access to me and Caleb Calhoun. For Caleb Calhoun, I'm Dave Hooker. This has been a presentation of Off the